The Lord be with you.
And with
your spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and went to live in Capernaum by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, that what had been said through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. On those dwelling in a land overshadowed by death, light has arisen. From that time on, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." As he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen. He said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. He walked along from there and saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. He went around all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and curing every disease and illness among the people. The Gospel of the Lord. Evangelicta de l'Antonosta Lecta. Our second reading today, Paul is talking about this disunity of people factionalizing and dividing themselves and finding reasons to be at odds with one another. And, you know, nothing really has changed in 2,000 years, and nothing had changed in the prior 2,000 years. That's something that human beings do, but we're called to reject that sort of thing. In Christ. We are all one in Christ. And yet we're still who we are, right? And we still have received what we have received from whom we received it, right? He said, you know, "I belong to Paul, I belong to Apollos, I belong to Cephas." Well, you don't belong to Paul, Apollos, or Cephas, but Paul, Apollos, and Cephas were the ones who gave you the gospel. And yeah, they spoke it in their own way. But it's the same gospel. It's the same truth. It's the same deposit of faith. It's the same word of God who is Jesus Christ. We have to understand that Jesus being the Logos, the word of God incarnate, one of the consequences of that is the fact of that unity, a real sort of unity and a real sort of diversity, God being one. His truth, his goodness, his beauty, his justice, his love, all one thing. It's for him, all those things, the things that we see as distinct, he is just as he is. Being he who is being, I am who am. And Jesus Christ, the Son, is the perfect articulation into the world of that reality. We're not him. And for us then, we express his infinite, majestic, splendorous truth in different ways, but still ways that are accurate, still ways that are true. So it doesn't devolve into relativism at all. But it would be sort of like, do I write a poem about a sunset? Do I paint a painting? You know, do I just describe it? Do I learn optics and physics and be able to describe the wavelengths and the physical causes of why the particular hues in the horizon are what they are? Like, all these different ways to express the same reality, all expressing, but the same truth. It's still fixated on that same truth. And that's what unites them. To the degree that they war amongst themselves, there is something wrong there. Right? If you said, "Well, I'm going to write a poem about the sunset." Like, "Well, I'm going to paint a picture." No, you don't paint pictures. Don't paint a picture. Write a poem. Because I like poems. What? No, it's or maybe even, Like, why paint a picture? We have photographs now, dude. Just click a picture. Pull your phone out. With all the oil paints and everything, that's so old fashioned. That's what strikes at unity. Warring amongst legitimate things. Or trying to put blocks on legitimate good things. What is not a sin against unity is condemning something that is not so, is not truth, is not beautiful, is not loving. Right? He says, as again, silly analogy, but like, okay, well, okay, we're supposed to paint this sunset. Okay. Well, you know, if I paint a sunset, you know, because we're on the West Coast here and the sun goes down over the ocean, this nice ocean sunset, you know, it might, you know, what about the people who see the sunrise? It's like, well, they can do their thing, that's fine. It's like, nope, I think it's important to say, you know, sunrises are sunsets too. No, they're a different thing. They're a thing that have their own reality. Or maybe you could say, well, you know, I don't really do that. I think I'm going to, I'm just going to Jackson Pollock thing and just kind of throw paint randomly. Like, this is my sunset. Like, it's not even like representative of a sunset in any way, shape, or form. Right? You know, I threw paint on the canvas while I was watching a sunset. It's like, well, but that's not really a painting of a sunset, is it? It's just as much a painting of a sunset as yours is. But it's not. It's something else. It is what it is, and I can evaluate it based on its own value, but it's not the same thing as what the rest of us are doing. To say that, to make a distinction when there is a difference, and perhaps even make the distinction where there is a difference, and evaluate the relative worth of these things that are different compared to one another. That isn't a sin against unity. That doesn't strike against unity. So, say, let's come back to Christianity. Let's come back to the church. And say, and that's something I've learned. Like, there are legitimate spiritualities that are not mine. I know that's a big, bold statement, but, you know, I'm joking. But no, there's definitely legitimate spiritualities. There's legitimate ways to express the gospel and live the Orthodox, Catholic, and Apostolic faith that is not in accord with my own personal sensibilities. And I don't begrudge other people their spiritualities, provided they are legitimate. So, for example, I'm not a charismatic, right? You're going to like a charismatic prayer service, kind of very high energy and a lot of intensity and stuff. It's, there are some people who get histrionic. Some people get very, perhaps are trying to whip themselves into an emotional religious fervor. Trying to manufacture religious experience. And that's an illegitimate kind of charismaticism, I understand. There are legitimate charismatics, though. There are people who pray for and some who do enjoy and practice these gifts of the Holy Spirit that embrace the Holy Spirit's dynamism and sort of flare up. I like things that are a little more focused and intentional. It's still fire, right? Whether it's a blazing torch or a furnace, it's still fire. And both are needed. Or even maybe things that aren't maybe contrasted. And I can come back to that. I can tell you, people you think would not get along very well, but absolutely do get along very, very, very well when they actually meet each other, intense charismatic Catholics and Latin Mass people. They get along really well because their spiritualities are legitimate. They both recognize that they're expressing the same Jesus Christ. And so they have everything in common. And they realize that, well, your thing might not be my thing, but Paul, Apollos, and Cephas are all disciples of Christ. And it's not about Paul, Apollos, or Cephas. Similarly, maybe other ways of expressing faith, things that are just maybe more, you know, on a human level, right? Just different throughout history, different traditions and cultures and things, right? Between, like, say, our Roman Rite and the Eastern Rites, there are some of the Eastern Catholic rites that I think are great. Some of them I really, really like. Some of them are like, well, I kind of like how we do it. But all of the, 26 different flavors of Catholic, Roman, which is most of us, Roman Catholics and Byzantine Catholics and Antiochene Catholics and Malabar and Malachar and Maronites and Chaldeans and Guise. It's all Catholic. It's all Orthodox. It's all apostolic. The 12 apostles went different directions with the same gospel and expressed it in their own voice and translated it into the culture that they came to and brought that same gospel, the same sacraments, the same faith, but over time it was expressed in different ways. But it's all the same gospel. This is as opposed to, say, the various heresies that popped up throughout history that sought from, and this is from, the Docetists who thought Jesus was sort of an illusion, that God was kind of projecting onto the world, which is weird. Arians who thought that Jesus was a creation or the Son of God. The Son was a creation, and Monophysites, all the way up into the Reformation, the Protestant Reformation, where they rejected the church. Those heresies are not legitimate because they deviate from the truth that we're sharing, right? They say, like, oh, well, it's hereo, heresy. Hereo is the Greek word for I choose. So someone who chooses their own way, they deviate from what we share. Now we can say, well, we can still rejoice in what we share, right? You can look to other forms of Christianity, Protestants and evangelicals, at least you can say, okay, look, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We can rejoice that we share that, but there are portions of what we're doing that are not compatible. And we have to say, well, what is more in accord with the fullness of the gospel? And we'd say, well, Orthodox, Catholic, Apostolic faith, the unchanging, unchangeable truth. Well, I'm not saying you're evil or wrong or that, well, I'm saying you're wrong in that the ways in which you've deviated, but I'm not saying, like, you confess Jesus Christ, and I'm not saying, well, you don't mean Jesus Christ, you're just saying the word because we don't agree on 100% of things. No. What I'm saying is what we agree on, what does unite us, even if we express it a little bit differently, what unites us, it sounds tautological, but what unites us, but when the subject that we're expressing, when we're expressing the same subject in different ways, we're united in spite of our diversity. Or in fact, almost by our diversity. It's because it's authentic. As opposed to saying, well, when we're at a point where we actually don't agree as to the subject, we're not in unity, even if we say, well, we're all gonna get along, we're gonna call this unity and diversity. This, where we're separate in what our eyes are turned towards, but we're just going to tolerate each other, that's not unity. If we do different, slightly different things, but we're both focused on the same subject, that is unity. It's the total reverse of what our world says unity is. It's the total reverse of what our world says diversity is. The world's definitions are wrong. The vision that Paul gives us today is right. And it's what we ought to embrace. Maybe one more example of things aren't my things. Like maybe things are just merely, cultural. There's the faith has spread throughout the entire world, right? And different cultures and different peoples have expressed these things and Christianized perhaps things that predate Christianity, recognizing that God's thumbprint is in everything. And so they Christianized the things that they did prior to receiving the gospel, and various other things, or just as cultures met each other, they adapted and kind of poured into each other their different things. And being an American, right, where this pluralistic country, what does an American look like? Well, we're not an ethno state. There's not really a how does an American look. Right, that we're not defined by a shared ethnic heritage. We're a melting pot, and I think that's one of the best things about our nation. That just well aside, that's one of the things I love most about my homeland is that we're not an ethno state. But it does mean that we're this melting pot of cultures. We do run into the issue, not an issue even, but just the reality that we have different heritages. And sometimes, and this is contrary to what the world says, there's just sometimes other people's heritages that really resonate with me. Sometimes they don't. I could go, okay, well, it's nice that you do that. Nice that you have this holiday. It's nice that you have this festival. It's nice that you express your Catholic faith in this way. Doesn't really do it for me, right? The Mardi Gras and king cakes and things. It's a bit loud for me. But it's legitimate and it's joyful. I've been a place where I've had Spanish masses. And the way I describe it is like, I know the steps to the dance. I know the steps to this dance, doing Hispanic ministry and things. I don't have an internal sense of rhythm. I enjoy it, and I do my best with the people. I'm not good at it because it doesn't resonate with me. I can recognize it's legitimate. I can recognize it's good. I can recognize it's valuable. It's just not my thing. But I don't begrudge them their expression of their Catholic faith. And I'm glad there are people who do resonate and who can feed those communities with the spirituality that works for them. It's just not me. But that's okay. Because the particular expressions, Paul, Cephas, Apollos, that's not where we put our trust. That's not where our value truly lies. That's not where our unity truly is. Our unity is in Jesus Christ.